This is Sarah Seven, and you are listening to Tornado Radio, where we're all safe and warm in the eye of the Central Texas music storm. Alrighty, dear listeners. Once again, I had a real fabulous interview all lined up, but reasons. Yeah, because of reasons, y'all aren't going to hear that one this week. You're going to have to wait till the next post. So, the ever-present fallback plan. Go to Arusha's, meet with Raven Raz. And what are we going to talk about this time?
Jazz.
Jazz. Okay, I'm good and liquored up. I need alcohol if I'm going to talk about jazz. I'm at a coffee shop, sitting outside of the coffee shop, but I had like, what, half a bottle or two-thirds of a bottle of wine before arriving here. I did not drive, for the record, because I'm always the designated drunk. But anyway, so why are we talking about jazz, Raz?
Because we have we have nothing else to talk about, and jazz was the first thing that came to my head.
Okay. Well, you know a little bit about jazz.
Just a little bit.
Well, since we're at Arusha's, I mean, the ever-present on-and-off-again open mic.
Yes.
You always end that with a couple of jazz standards, one or two of them.
Yeah. So I basically, around the time I started learning how to sing was when I was in the jazz band for high school. And
wait, you're in a band and you're learning how to sing, not in choir, which is where you typically learn how to sing, right?
I ended up doing choir next year, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was because I started listening to Chet Baker.
Okay.
And he's a really good artist. He does, like, he's basically like, what, the Taylor Swift or Lady Gaga of the jazz era. Or let's say
okay.
Justin Bieber of the jazz era.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Smooth voice, very handsome, standard pop star.
Yeah, okay.
And when jazz was pop back then.
Back when it was, yeah, when it wasn't serious music that you had to go to school to study. Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of like over...
It's like all the people who studied classical music said, screw this, and started playing jazz.
Yeah.
As I understand it, yeah.
I don't think it's a very smooth term, but what, academification,
over-intellectualization... Because, boy, jazz was probably, like, it was run by drug users. You know.
The mob, basically.
Yeah.
Sadly, well, it's weird because the mob gets its hand into a lot of music and culture generally.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. I really don't.
The mob has definitely influenced a lot of things throughout, like, time.
History, yeah.
It's very, very interesting. Like, I only know like a handful of like examples, but I've heard they, you know, they're just involved in everything.
Probably going back to the Vikings and even before that, the Phoenicians, I would say.
Yeah.
They had like the same ships. Now, I remember thinking this like in fifth grade. They were showing us these Viking ships and trying to teach us about Viking mythology, and I was like, how can I compare this to the Greeks? Because I was like a dork. And I'm like, those sails look exactly the same as the Phoenician ship sails. And wait, the shape of those boats is the same. What's up with that? You know? So, I don't know. Was the tribe of Dan Danes? I'm just asking.
But pay more attention in English class.
Well, they wouldn't have taught you that crap. They wouldn't have. This is just my bouncing off the walls crap. But I'm thinking they were proto-mob.
Yeah.
They were. I mean, come on. The Vikings were, like, the mob before the mob. You know, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Only I'm going to say that, you know, like a Norwegian would say that. This will be okay, yeah? Okay, just sit down and shut up, yeah? Okay, yeah. Get that? All right. You know, listen, I'm going to club you, okay? Yeah? Get that?
Give him the clobber.
Yeah. Just give him some lutefisk and make him shut up.
Wasn't that the first really good weather day?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, we were... It's cool, but it's not... We're not pummeled with rain. We were this morning, though. Yeah, the last time we did this, we were bitching about the heat.
Yeah.
By the way, heat death of the universe, I think, is actually when things, like, cool down.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is like
instead of, you were hoping it would actually cool down instead of be that, if we had less energy, it couldn't get that hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a whole, cools down. But technically, I mean, it's just when things don't, there can't be any change.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say that the universe had a lot more energy. Well, it could just end up like everything is 100 degrees.
Just even.
And because everything...
Hotter than comfortable, but not actually, you know, doing anything. Just stale.
Well, we know. The universe, like, if we were to take all the energy in the universe and just, you know, evenly distribute it, which would basically mean nothing can happen because energy has to flow from one place to another.
So whatever temperature it would be like uncomfortably hot or uncomfortably cold, but it would suck.
No, it could be room temperature.
But it would suck.
Yes.
It would still suck. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about jazz.
Yes.
By the way, jazz used to be spelled with two S's instead of two Z's back in, I think, the 20s.
Yeah.
That was the alternate spelling.
It had like a... It went through a lot of incarnations throughout,
So it did.
So let's begin. So there was a guy we called Jazz Jesus.
Jazz Jesus.
And
Jazz John the Baptist, mind you, but Jazz Jesus.
Jazz Jesus, yes. Like
who's Jazz Baptist. Jesus?
A few tiers higher.
I see. And what Sephira is he on? Just asking.
Probably Keter.
Okay. For all you Kabbalists out there. Not Madonna. Actual, real Kabbalists who know what they're talking about.
Let's see. So Jazz Jesus was very passionate. And so we went... So there's these things called jazz techs. You go to these jazz competitions. And since we were high schoolers, they would have these people who would just, you know, sit by and listen to us. And they would just... tell us how we could improve. And so for 30 minutes, they would just tell us, you know, this section of the song, you can do this, what the band is lacking in. And one of the guys was very passionate. He says, I don't have a lot of time. So we
just like Jesus.
Yeah.
33 years. Although he might have done some other stuff afterwards. There's some speculation about that. But he might still be doing some stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of observe.
That would be cool. Maybe he ended up becoming Jazz Jesus. Who knows?
He might have. Yeah, he might have.
But basically, he said, I don't have a lot of time. So let's start with the rhythms of West Africa.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
He goes all the way, you know, in jazz history and talks about, you know, like how it was, you know, very rhythmic and whatnot and how it... You trace its African roots.
Well, it influenced a lot of music. I mean, a lot of Latin dance. I mean, it used Western harmonies, but it used African rhythms.
That's in a way you could, pretty much.
There's a lot of styles of music that benefited from that.
Yeah, so it ultimately ended up becoming, you know, you had blues, but it...
Yeah.
They started melding the Western styles, you know, like the Western instruments, because you had, like, you know, the bass, the upright bass, which was basically, you know, the what they called the double bass in orchestra.
Yeah.
Your trumpet, piano,
drums. And they used the Western harmonic structure that was pretty much developed by Bach, because prior to that, it was a different animal. And there are different harmonic structures. I mean, Hindu Vedic music... They even use different scales in other parts of the world,
from what I understand.
But, I mean, you know, there's the Western scale. It's pretty ubiquitous. It goes beyond just the Western world because now a lot of other people use it too. But that harmonic structure and then the rhythmic structure and the instruments. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely combination was really nice.
Faux show. The components of jazz.
components of jazz, there are three main styles of jazz. You have the swing style, very popular, and then you had Latin style and funk. Funk is considered jazz.
Yeah.
At least in the academic circles.
Okay.
So, really from there, it starts to really blend more closer to, you know, more modern styles.
Well, last post, we talked to a Zydeco band. I mean, this is an interview I did, like, last year, but it was a Zydeco band that had a lot of funk influence.
Yeah.
The guy who fronts that band, I mean, he was schooled up with all the greats, you know, not just funk, but the blues and everything else. It all kind of blends into itself. But yeah, so funk is, I can see how funk would be considered a style of jazz. It sort of, it merges jazz and rock, I think.
Yeah, a very interesting thing that they started to do, it wasn't just jazz where it started, but you have it, you know, in blues, you have it in, even in ragtime, like people don't, so there's something called swing rhythm.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have your basic beat, you have your one, two, three, four.
Yeah.
But then you have half, so these are usually what they call quarter notes or,
yeah,
well, or whatever. But
as opposed to one and two and three and four and, yeah, one and a two and a three and a four and a...
So it's all based around twos. And
yeah,
computer systems are based around twos, which is interesting because it sounds very mechanical even. Because it's like, you know, one and two and it's everything's evenly spaced.
Everything around is just too evenly spaced. It sure ain't natural. So it seems to me. Well, I got one foot in the country. I'm just trying to get back home. And one foot in the city, just trying to get my stories known. Oh, but I'm never gonna make it in this in-between place where everything around is just too evenly spaced. It sure ain't natural. And so it seems to me it sure ain't natural. I tried to find a home in San Francisco, but I drifted down to New Orleans. Then I hopped a boat that was bound for Seoul and just floated to Yemen. How am I ever gonna make it in this in-between place where everything around is just so evenly spaced? It sure ain't natural. So it seems to me it sure ain't natural. Oh yeah. And if you could see me now, would you laugh or cry? Yeah, cause everybody here is a friend of mine some of the time. Gonna make it in this in-between place where everything around is just too evenly spaced. It sure ain't natural. So it seems to me it sure ain't natural. Oh yeah. If you could see me now, you'd either laugh or cry. Yeah, cause everybody a friend of mine some other time. And lately I find people give you more time for sweet.
I've been to more places than I can name, but I still ain't made it home. And is it really so very strange to want a place to call my own? You say it's just around the corner, it's so real you can taste, but how am I gonna find it in this in-between place? That sure ain't natural. And so it seems to me that it's supernatural. That's the only way that it could be, oh yeah. So if you could see me now, you'd have to laugh or cry.
Just saying.
That's great.
No, that's been around for a minute, but yeah. Yeah.
So now, when you have something, there's now something called swing rhythm that began to emerge, become more prominent, widely used in specific genres. So instead of one and two and, it would be one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four.
That's very jazzy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, jazz drummers. I mean, that's what I, when I think of a jazz drummer, I think of that sound. Yeah. I mean, people have been accused of being a jazz drummer just for doing that. I'm being goofy, but yeah, no, but it can be a fun kind of. It's a fun vibe though. It's like my cat sneaking around the house.
One of my favorite rhythms they use in jazz is that.
So that's a little more animated than. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, again, now we're just focusing on the swing subset of jazz. This is what's more close related to blues and even ragtime.
Yeah.
Ragtime actually was played swung. That's why they called it ragtime, because the rhythms were ragged.
I can totally relate to that. I have an eccentric sense of rhythm. It does confuse people, but I think it is actually ragtime. Like, you know how, like, in band, they give you, like, this aptitude test before you choose an instrument, and they sort of decide what instrument you'll be allowed to play?
I was not there. I actually chose my instrument.
Wow. I scored highest on the rhythm part.
Ah.
Which totally blew me away, and I ended up playing clarinet, Squidward-like. But I wasn't Squidward about it. I was like the anti-Squidward.
So, fun clarinetist.
Yeah. Yeah, I have an eccentric sense of rhythm. So I try to meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyone who's in a band, you know, will know. You've got to rely on your rhythm section, your bass player and your drummer.
For most bands, yes. But here's a jazz story. So there's a jazz band called the Basie Band. Count Basie.
Count Basie, yeah.
Yes, he's
That's
very,
a name we've all heard.
Very famous. Us pianists have to learn his solos, which are very minimalist compared to other solos.
Okay.
He basically does fills.
Less
his
is
solo.
More.
And there's a creeping feeling, at least amongst more, you know, jazz pianists my age, that the reason why he's smiling is because he knows damn well that he's being paid this much money and he's just going to be ass.
Years ago when I lived in the Bay Area, San Francisco, blankety blank San Francisco, on the East Bay, I had this jazz piano teacher that I took a couple lessons from when I was doing graphic design, and he was like a client, and I was like, you teach piano? I want to learn from you. He was a strange guy, but yeah, he talked about solos. He played, you know, marimbas and the xylophone as well as the piano. But he said, yeah, you know, as long as you're in key, you know, you can just go all night, you know, and people, you know, the drunk crowd will be like, yeah!
Honestly, because here, so there's a guy who actually, like, knew Count Basie.
Okay.
And he was running, so I was in something called Region Jazz, where they take, like, the best jazz players in all the schools nearby.
Yeah, regionals, yeah. No, it is, yeah. It's a cool thing.
So, I'm going to be honest, I didn't really practice that much for the region music. And one of them was a Count Basie song. I only read over it once, and I played it a little bit, but I get there. I barely practiced. I'm the pianist. I'm supposed to solo. I do love soloing, though. I'm good improvising.
Improvising is fun, yeah.
This is Count Basie.
So I'm gonna do a Count Basie solo.
I stuck within, like, you know, the chords, and it is just very, you know, it just fills. It didn't have too much of a melody. It's like, bup, bup, ba-da-da-da-da-da, bup, or something like that. And the guy looks at me, who knew Count Basie, because this brings it to actually the story he told me about, speaking of, like, rhythm and jazz. He tells me that's really great solo.
It
has the spirit of Count Basie.
Yeah, you got it.
And I didn't practice at all, like, really. I just played, like, you know, I was with a lot of the top jazz, you know, players, and, you know, I was just there. I think that's a lot of the music scene. It's like there's a lot of slacking you just somehow
get through. It's like you slow down to speed up. I mean, you know, you practice a lot, you learn your craft, and then, you know, because you know that you're not going to have time in a pinch to do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on, and just being in the moment. And, you know, another musician that I think is interesting, Dizzy Gillespie, the trumpet and all, had an injury to his lip. You know, sometimes with a vocalist,
yeah,
they have to compensate if they've had an injury. But some of those later solos that he did after that were some of the best and most intricate, because he had to work around that and he could make it work.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes less is more. I mean, you know, we all, it's kind of the trope, you know, the god 80s guitar solo from hell. You know, really? No. I mean, you know, there are people in the 80s who wept when they heard those, because they're like, no, that's not the way to do it.
They also had, like, I mean, it's very easy, to be honest. You just spam arpeggios and scales.
Yeah, but is that really art?
Most of the time, not really. It impresses people, though. You can do it, and it's a technical feat. But you're right. In terms of being a musical feat,
no. It somehow doesn't speak to the soul.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird, though. I am going to brag on this area. I mean, you know, Temple College and jazz, and I don't think people know. And this isn't the only place in the world like this. Like your piano teacher, for example.
Yeah, he's Dr. Iron.
Yeah.
On the Basie band and rhythm. So this tech was bringing up the Count Basie stuff, and he tells us about... No, it was actually that tech. It was Jazz Jesus who told this tech.
Jazz Jesus.
Count Basie story. Because they have all the intellectuals in jazz love Count Basie. They say it's like, you know, just... It's like a post-modern art professor. Like,
so Jazz Jesus sees Count Basie as being like Moses or something, or
solos,
or,
too.
You know, Isaiah, or, you know. In the Judeo-Christian tradition. You know, how would we Hindu this up, you know? Or, you know, put some Buddhism in it. Texas Buddhists. Buda. Well, we got that town down, you know, south of Austin. Buda.
Yeah.
Start calling it Buda. I'm a beauty sattva. Anyway. But I digress.
So, you know, you have Count Basie on this pedestal. I'm like, yes, he's a great leader. He's good at music and whatnot. But his solos are very simplistic. And it is important to study them, because they're very easy to make. And that's very good for beginners. It helps them get out of the box.
Yeah.
We have taken a lot of detours before this jazz. So jazz,
we're geeking rhythm out here. Any non-musicians are like, shut up! Just tell us something interesting. Something we can relate to. Stop geeking out. But
The jazz rhythm. So there's the Count Basie band.
Yeah.
And one thing Basie taught the jazz band was being able to keep time. It doesn't matter if you weren't the drummer or the bassist.
You gotta count.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, you have to count.
And also feel it.
Yeah, at the same time. It's weird. It's not intellectual, but it's physical and it's the heart before it becomes the mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much where a lot of stuff begins. That would be another detour.
Yeah, it would. So, could we wrap this up?
Yes. So they had a drummer come in to the Count Basie band. And the drummer was not on time that a drummer should be. So instead of fitting towards the drummer, the Count Basie band left the drummer out to dry. As in, they were in time and they did not give any shats that the drummer was off. So it's basically...
They just played on time and the drummer had to keep up?
The drummer had to keep up. The drummer longer had authority. The drummer was off his drum throne.
I've heard in the classical world that'll happen with orchestras. They'll get a guest conductor. And if the orchestra knows the music, they'll play it the way the heck they want. And they will ignore the conductor.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, no, we play this like umpteen times. You know, you can wave your little hands and do whatever. We're going to play this.
Yes. This rhythm is ultimately felt. Even if orchestras have like a central rhythm machine, it's ultimately felt.
Yeah. Yeah. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
One, two, one, two, three. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do
I. Alright, so that's what I sound like drunk.
All you gotta do is sing. Do I, 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 do I. It makes no difference if it is sweet or if it is hot. Just give that little rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing.
And sober me had to listen to all that and edit it.
Do I, 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 pop da 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 ba da 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 da.
Also, sober me had to listen to drunk me singing. That sure was pleasant. So I'm gonna share that pleasure with y'all.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
But I've got to give Rave kudos for soldiering on through that song. And by the way, that first song you heard is one I recorded down at the Buda Treehouse Studio in Buda. And that was produced and engineered by Trevor Zajic. And I'll probably have to interview him one of these days.
All you gotta do is sing. Do I, 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 do I. It makes no difference if it is sweet or if it is hot. Just give that little rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do I. Opa!
All right.
And in the meantime, this is Sarah Seven, wishing you, as I always do, peace be with y'all.